Proverbs chapter number 10. I'd like to read tonight, beginning in verse number 1 of Proverbs chapter 10. Just down through verse number 8, just as a quick reminder of kind of where we've been. We have been using the progression here in chapter 10 as kind of the jumping off point to study the Proverbs by subject, seeing a proverb and then looking through the rest of the Proverbs to see similar teachings, similar verses, similar Proverbs. And so just reading down through here to verses 8 and 9 will give us a reminder of what we have been looking at, thinking about, and learning. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. So in all of this, we see a wide variety of things that Solomon already, in just these 8 or 9 verses here, has been covering. We know that this section of Proverbs from chapter 10 all the way to the end is not one where Solomon speaks at length at a particular juncture about a particular subject, but yet instead he deals with things as wise sayings. He deals with things by subject. And though we might find 2 or 3, sometimes 4 verses linked together, sometimes we might find a couple of subjects that are even complementary, gathered around each other, we find that he very much does go from thought to thought through the different chapters here. And so we come to these verses and then look to the rest of Proverbs to see the teachings of Solomon unfold that we might learn and glean from them. And we know that this book that we have before us is irreplaceable. There is nothing greater in all the earth, no greater resource, no greater possession, no greater repository for instruction, for righteousness, for knowledge, for truth. Nothing greater in all the earth than what we have before us. But yet many times we find ourselves not really treating the Word of God in that fashion. And a lot of times we certainly are not looking at the book of Proverbs that way. Perhaps because, as we've said through this study, it's because it's hard to read in the sense that it's not a story. It's not a narrative that deals with a subject. It's not doctrinal teaching like, say, Paul in Romans 9 teaching about sovereignty, or Romans 8, and all of those type of passages. It's very different. And so we often overlook it. But I hope and pray that we are being able to see the importance and the value here in the book of Proverbs, that it carries for us in our lives. And just a careful examination of the world around us will show us the need for this book. I mean, just in the events of this last week, the Lord has impressed upon me more and more the need for wisdom. The need for wisdom to be able to answer questions that you don't even know exist until they do. You know, until they come to you. I mean, the only way to be prepared for things like that is to be rooted and grounded in the truth and in this book. Of course, we have it for a reference to go to at any time, but yet we also know that the issues of life can burst forth upon us at any moment, and we can and do need to have these things at our disposal for that very purpose. So we need to seek this wisdom. It is found here in the way of wisdom. Tonight, we look in verse number 8, and there's a collection of verses, a collection of proverbs throughout Solomon's writings here that deal with the subject of godly instruction and godly reproof. And that's what we'll be looking at tonight. Godly instruction and godly reproof. We will see the contrast between those who give heed to godly instruction and godly reproof and those who don't. Those who pay attention to it, those who give themselves to it, those who see the value in it, and those that don't. Now, when you think about our human nature and our pride, instruction and reproof are two things that our flesh hates because of pride. Pride will tell us we don't need to be instructed on how, especially if we're guys. We don't like to be told how. We like to figure it out. But let's be honest, and if we are honest, we don't know how, and we need to seek instruction. We also need to seek reproof, and that means being corrected as needed. And the flesh doesn't like that either. So this subject, of course, when we read about it, it has the ability to cut us to the quick, has the ability to convict us, which is very needful, of course, for us. So when we talk tonight and read in these verses about godly instruction, we're talking about the orders, the commands, the directives, the bidding of God, the will of God upon our life, the requirements of God as set forth by His Word. That's His instruction. We know 2 Timothy 3:16 talks about the Word of God being profitable for this very thing, for instruction in righteousness. We also find the word reproof in that verse in 2 Timothy 3:16. Godly reproof is very profitable for us as well. The word reproof, it's not used in our vernacular really at all today, but it means to rebuke, to reprimand, to admonish, to correct. And God does this through His Word, through the Spirit, does this through His men. He does this sometimes, of course, saint to saint, if you will, through His Word or through testimony or through just daily walk. He has a variety of ways that He does these things, but these Proverbs are going to show us that it is wise for us to be given to instruction and reproof, and it is very unwise for us to push them off, though that is our tendency. We need to give heed to godly instruction and to godly reproof. It's always wise to obey. It never, ever harms us to obey God. There may be times that it harms or makes us uncomfortable in the flesh, but it never harms us to obey God, to follow what He says. There's always a blessing in that, in some form or fashion. And it always hurts to disobey God. It always hurts to not follow or seek His instruction. And there is always a correction or curse in that as well. Turn over. Keep your place here, of course, but turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 11. As an example of this, as Moses writes in Deuteronomy concerning the children of Israel, when they were going to go into the land, he talks to them about following and obeying God and His instruction and those kinds of things and what will happen and what if they don't. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. So at the very basis of what we're talking about here tonight, we have a choice. That choice is either to obey or disobey God. That choice is to uphold His commands or to let them down. And very clearly here, Moses says to Israel that I have set before you both a blessing and a curse. And he sort of says to them, it's up to you which one you receive. You obey God and you're going to be blessed. You disobey God and you're going to be cursed. It may be an oversimplification to a point, but yet the premise is true, because we have control over our flesh through the Spirit. Obedience to God is always possible in any situation. And so we need to be given to that obedience, to the instruction, of course, and to the reproof. Now go back to Proverbs chapter 10. Our attitude towards instruction and reproof will either be obedience or disobedience. It will either be to receive it or to reject it. And I believe this happens every single day, that we are given the opportunity to either receive the instruction and reproof of God or to reject it. The question is, what do we do with it? We hear it with the ear, or we read it as we read the Word of God. We hear it in sermons. That conscience that we like to talk about, the Holy Spirit being our guide, speaks to us. All of those things happen. What do we do with it? We need to be tender unto the instruction and reproof of Almighty God to have a blessed life. Notice here in verse number 8 again, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. The wise in heart are those who have heart-seated wisdom, and they will receive the commandments of God. That is, they will hear, they will accept, they will respond to, they will welcome the commands or the instruction of God for their life. How many times have we said or heard said, I know the Bible says, but? Well, that is not being open and receptive to the commands of God, is it? To receive through preaching or through a direction of the Holy Spirit what the Word of God says to us, and then to do anything other than what He has said, that's not being open to the commands or the instruction of God. We're to have a gracious attitude towards the commands of God. When we read, thou shalt or thou shalt not. When we read that we're to be a separate and peculiar people. When we read that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, and all those kinds of things. When Christ says that, you know, we are to, love Him with our whole mind, body, and soul. All of these things, they're not to be grievous, but we are to accept them with a gracious attitude and a gracious spirit. If we're wise in heart, that's what we will do. So here's the wisest person ever to live saying, if you want to be smart about it, then receive the commandments of God. Don't fight them. Don't second guess them. Don't say, well, that applies to everyone else but me. Be tender towards them. And we need to check in with ourselves and see, am I being tender towards the things of God, towards the commands of God? How do I respond when I read in Scripture that the Bible says this you should do or this you shouldn't do? How do we receive those things? And then, of course, the opposite side of this, he says, but a prating fool shall fall. The word prating there means one who talks long or idly or worthlessly, uses his words to no point or to no avail. In other words, not having much point to life, they shall fall. They shall fall. So there is a contrast here as they fall into many errors. We won't take time to turn there. But as the kingdom split, when Solomon, of course, after he died, his son Rehoboam, and then there was Jeroboam too, we know the kingdom split. Rehoboam is a good example of the prating fool, of the one who talked a lot, who sought advice from the wrong kind of people instead of looking at the commands of God, receiving those, and then, of course, took the new nation that he was in commandment over in the wrong direction. And so we see that. Go over to chapter 12 and verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Scriptural instruction is the course for acquiring scriptural knowledge. Knowledge means not just facts and figures, but knowledge means that we have the ability to discern. That we know not just the verbiage of what the Bible says, but we know how to apply what the Bible says. We know how to rightly divide the word of truth. We know how to make it or put it into practice in our lives. All of those things. Well, that can only come by seeking scriptural instruction. That instruction coming from the Word of God, from the preaching of God's Word, and those kinds of things. We must love it. Ask yourself, do I love instruction? do I love knowledge. On the contrary side, he that hates reproof is brutish. If you're a brute, basically, it's being said of you that you are like an animal. One that has no consciousness other than his own basic needs to be met. And so one who does not receive reproof or hates reproof is animal-like. He's not rational in his thought. He is very much driven by what he feels or just by fulfilling the need of the present moment. And so he cannot see past that. So he has no use for reproof. And a lot of times we're like that. Because reproof hurts the pride. That correction stings the flesh. It dings us a little bit, and we don't like that. Our toes get stepped on, and so we kind of shy away from it somewhat. Asaph got to this point in Psalm 73, where he had looked at the foolish, or he had looked at the rich and how they had prospered and all of those kinds of things, though they didn't serve God. And he got to the point where in verse 22, he calls himself or says he was a brutish man because he was not receiving the instruction of the Lord and all of those kinds of things. Look at verse number 15 here in chapter 12. Just keep right on moving here. Let the volume of these verses speak to us tonight. Verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about counselors. There's a lot of verses that talk about those things. But this verse is contrasting that. It's saying the opposite of that. If you have no use for counsel, and when you read counsel here, you can substitute an instruction from the Word of God. If you want to say the word advice, I don't like that word when you look at it because it becomes optional. But you know, instruction for how to live or what to do, to solve your problems, to apply a decision or discernment in your life. A fool will say he has no need of such, that he does not need anyone else to tell him what to do. He's stubborn, and he will do it his own way. He doesn't ask for help. He doesn't ask for instruction, either from those around him or from the Word of God. Many times, not even from the Spirit. And that person, the Bible says, is a fool who's acting in the flesh. He's acting as if there's nothing more than just this flesh here in this world. And then, of course, on the other side of that, here in verse number 15, says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. We need to realize our need for instruction and gladly receive it. That's hard. Do you remember back when you were a young person growing up and teenage years and your 20s and you have it all figured out? You know, you don't need anybody to tell you anything because, hey, I've been a kid for so long now and I've got it all figured out. That's what they're talking about here. The sooner we realize that we all need counsel, that we all need instruction, and we receive that counsel and instruction, the better off we will be. And that doesn't stop with age. We need to continue on that path of receiving that counsel all the time in our lives that we might know what to do and how to live. So we have these two ways contrasted. The ones that think they have it all figured out and have no use for reproof, for correction, for instruction. And those that realize, hey, I don't know it all. Hey, I need help. I need somebody to teach me, to show me. I need the Word of God to direct me in these things. And of course, they will experience more blessings in life. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. Chapter 13, verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. So when you see the word heareth here, I believe it's not just talking about hearing as in, you know, audible reception, but it's talking about receiving. It's talking about, taking it in and learning from it. A wise son, a son that is wise, will receive that instruction from his father. He'll crave it, he'll desire it, he'll want it, and he will apply it in his life so that he too may be able to make wise choices as he goes forward in life. And that doesn't mean the father has all the answers, but he knows where to go. to direct him where to go, to teach him and to show him those things. And we all need that. We are the children of God. A wise son, a wise daughter will heed the instruction of God, of our Heavenly Father, as we go forward in this life. We will not turn it aside. We will not say it's not important, but we will heed what he has to say. But a scorner is one that has disdain and contempt. If you scorn somebody, that's what you're basically doing. You're having that for them. So he's saying here a scorner, and that would be one that has a disdain or contempt for God, for godly instruction, says he heareth not rebuke. So when we reject a reproof or the rebuke or the correction of God, we're scorning him. We're basically saying unto God, you're not important, or what you have to say is not important, treating him with great disdain. And I'm sad to say that we do that. I do that far too much. It becomes almost a natural reflex of the flesh to do so, because we don't want to think that anything's wrong with us. We don't want to think that we have problems that have to be overcome, that we have weaknesses that need to be strengthened. But the reality is that everyone around this table tonight, including myself, has those weaknesses that need to be strengthened, has those trials and tribulations that have to be worked through, that has those things that they don't understand, that they need help with to be taught. All of us do. And so we need to seek that of God. And when it's rebuke, though it stings, understand that's the best thing. The best thing that can happen to us at that time, that we might learn from it and that we might move on. Stay here in chapter 13 and look at verse number 13. In the same vein of thought as one that scorns or doesn't hear the rebuke, notice here in verse 13, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. This proverb draws a contrast between the one who despises the word and the one who feareth the commandment. So the one who despises the word would be one that looks down on, one that hates, one that thinks little of the word. And he's talking about the word of God. Can you imagine being guilty of that? Can you imagine living life in that way? We all may slip into that from time to time. Say, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm going to do whatever I want. That may not even be a conscious thing we say, but an action that we do. But can you imagine living in that place? When we despise the word, he says here, what will come is destruction. They will be torn down. They will be wrecked. They will be destroyed. Now, again, he's not saying someone that is saved, if they disdain or if they despise the word of God, they're going to be cast into hell. No, that's not the destruction that's being talked about here. But it could very well be the destruction of the flesh. It could very well be the wrecking of the life that we lead here upon this earth if we go down that sort of path and live that way very long at all as we cast the word of God away. But on the other side of that, he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. So he that has respect, he that has reverence for the commandments of God, for the instruction of God, will find blessing and a reward. A reward, and that reward will be wisdom. That reward will be knowledge. That reward will be the ability to discern what to do in life and how to live a successful life according to what pleases God. And then that should be our desire anyway. That comes by receiving instruction and receiving reproof. I mean, those of us that are parents, that's what we want our kids to do, right? I want to be able to show them, okay, this is how you do this. This is how you, run a screw gun and put a screw in. This is how you chop wood. This is how whatever. You want them to receive instruction, learn from the steps that you've showed them to do, and be able to do that themselves in their life. And then when you see them and they're, you know, about to chop their leg off because they're not listening to your instruction, you tell them, hey, wait a minute, look at what you're doing. You want them to be able to see that, be open and receptive to it, and adjust what they were doing wrong to make it right. And that's exactly what we need in our lives, that attitude That's the same kind of pattern that needs to be present in us as well. And that's this contrast that we're seeing tonight. Look at verse 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. So again, the second part of this verse is very much like verse 13, where we'll be rewarded, we'll be honored. But notice the first part here, it tells us that poverty and shame for those that refuse instruction. Refuse the instruction of God, they'll be brought low. Those that do not regard reproof, that is, they think very little of it, they push it away, they think that God has no right to correct them, that has no right to convict them or to issue that unto them, they will be brought low. They will suffer poverty or loss. They might still be rich as far as the bank account's concerned, but they'll suffer loss. They'll suffer shame for it. And that's not a place we want to be in. Go over to chapter 15. Let all of these verses speak to you tonight of, again, a contrast in these two ways of life, approaches to life, and how we receive. Because we receive it, as I said, every day. More so when we're in the house of God, listening to a message or a Sunday school lesson. More so when we are deeply immersed in the Word of God and reading it. But even when those things aren't happening, and maybe we're just on the job and doing what we do, still then, we can either receive instruction or reproof. We need to be open to it. We need to have a gracious spirit towards it. Notice here verse 10 of chapter 15. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Correction, of course, has reference to reproof or warning, very much the same word. And what it's saying here is that it's grievous, it's painful unto him. He doesn't like it. And because he doesn't like it, he will turn away from it, run the other direction, because he's a fool. Now the wise man maybe has been guilty of the same thing, and he receives the correction, the reproof, and you know what? It's painful, even for the wise man. But you know what he does? He doesn't run away. He takes that reproof. It touches his soul, and he sees what God is speaking to him about. And he makes correction or change in his life. He sees the need of it and will not kick against and will submit to it, of course, to his betterment. And again, that needs to be our approach. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 12 of chapter 15. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. How do you respond to people that might reprove you or be a rebuke to you? How do you respond to them? Well, if you respond very poorly, you are, in essence, as it says here, scorning. Treating them with disdain or dishonor and saying that they're unimportant. When really, our response ought to be love. Our response ought to be thankfulness. And sometimes, or I should say a lot of times, this doesn't happen as, you walk up to somebody and say, man, you are really wrong about this, whatever it is. A lot of times it's not. Most of the time, in fact, it's not that. A lot of times it comes just in the continual observance of somebody in their life. And you know what they do, you know how they live, you know their commitment unto the Lord, and just by seeing what they do, it has an effect and a conviction upon you. And because of that, you are reproved that you don't do those things. And so, how do you respond to that person? How do you treat them? How do you feel towards them? A lot of times we feel distant. We feel like we don't want to be close to them at all because, hey, they're making us feel bad. But that's the best thing for us when those things need to be learned or we need to be taught those things. Galatians 4:16, Paul asks the question, am I your enemy? Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And that happens a lot of times. People feel that way. And so we need to be careful at how we receive rebuke or reproof in this life, of course. We need to be willing to be reproved and admonished. And those that are wise towards that, or those that receive that, they will even begin to surround themselves by others that will constantly provide that reproof, that rebuke, or that correction to them. Again, not always verbally, sometimes just by testimony. Sometimes this might be called accountability or something along those lines. But they will desire that, and that will be something that we seek out. Whereas the fool will just run the opposite direction, get mad at them and say, "How dare you?" Accuse them of being pious. "How dare you?" You know, all those kinds of things. And that is not how we want to respond to God's people and to God when He delivers these things to us. Two more verses we'll look at tonight and finish up. Look at chapter 28. We jump all the way from chapter 15 to chapter number 28, which I find interesting. I'm sure there maybe are some more verses in that void there that fit into this category. But notice here, Proverbs 28. Before we read this verse, if I were to ask you tonight, what would keep your prayers from reaching the throne of God? There's a couple things you might say, but of course we know the Psalms tell us that if we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. And we know that if we pray and we ask amiss, we won't necessarily receive those things. We get that. But the iniquity in our heart is one of those things that we know God will not hear us. We will not have fellowship with God. There's iniquity in our heart. But see, this verse is equally as condemning when it comes to prayer. Proverbs 28 in verse number 9. "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." Whoso turneth his ear away from hearing. If we quit listening and receiving instruction from the Word of God, it will negatively impact our prayer life. To the point, to the degree that God says, "It's an abomination to me when you pray, if you have rejected, pushed away, or have not seen the benefit of the law or my word in your life." That's pretty serious, isn't it? If we say, "I don't need instruction," if we say, "I don't need to be taught or reproved, I don't need to have these things occur in my life," then we've lost the ability to pray. And the more you think about it, of course, the more it makes sense. Because if we're going to reject the Word of God, then we're rejecting God, aren't we? And so we have to be very careful about the attitude we have towards it. There have been things over the course of time, and we'll not get into specific subjects, but I've heard people say things, God hasn't convicted me of that yet. Or, we'll pray about that, though the Bible clearly says what's right and what's wrong. Things like that. And what we're doing when we do things or say things like that is we are disregarding. We are, as it says here in verse number 9, turning away our ear from the Word of God. When the Word of God clearly says, "Thus and so thou shalt do or not do," and we either said, "Well, I'm not convicted of that," or we say, "Well, I'm going to pray about that," or we say something along those lines, then we're just turning away from what it clearly says to us. And that is such a serious offense that God says, "When you pray to me, it is something that I hate. Because you're trying to pray to me and worship me in prayer and talk to me and have an intimate connection with me. All the while you have turned away from my word." He says, "I won't have that. You're not going to treat my word that way and still talk to me." And so it's very serious that we see the need and the profitability in instruction and reproof and a learning, growing, and being corrected in this life. We never know everything. We always need instruction. And then we never do everything right, so we need correction. Those two things are always true. And we need to embrace that, because the Word of God will continually hammer at us, just like Jeremiah talks about. It's a hammer that will chip away all those things that don't need to be there, that we might be made into the image of Christ. until that finished work is done. It'll continue hammering, so don't ignore it. And then last, look at Proverbs 29 and verse number 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The one who hardeneth his neck, of course, has reference to the stiff-necked. Israel was accused of that many times over in the Old Testament. But the one who hardens himself over and over and over again against the instruction and reproof of God is in danger, grave danger of being ruined. Grave danger of reaching a point where recovery is not possible. Now, I don't mean that he'll fall out of grace or that he'll be unsaved or any of those kinds of things. But the point here is that if we reprove or if we harden ourselves against the Word of God, and we do so over the course of time, there will eventually come a point where there won't be the ability to recover from that, and there shall be that destruction again, and that without remedy. And that is something that is not pleasant to think about because of the, you know, the danger that is there, but it's nonetheless true. What we do with this Word of God that He's given us is a very serious thing. What we do with it, what we believe about it, how we implement it in our lives, the respect, the honor that we show to it, what we glean from it, and all of those things is so important. It's not a light thing. And so we are being told here of its importance over and over again. And if we allow it to get too far, it'll get to the point where we will not recover from it. And we don't ever want to get to that point. Let us always be with the idea of having a gracious spirit towards instruction and correction. Why? Because we never know it all and we never get it all right. So we need both of those things continually all the time. You know, kids might look at their parents and think, well, they must know everything. Nope. Parents still need instruction. We still need to learn. We still learn from the Word of God. We still learn from our experiences. We learn from our mistakes. We're learning all the time. And we're not perfect either, though, well, our kids know that we're not, but we still need to be corrected. And so it will be that way all of our lives. And we need to be tender to that, as these Proverbs do point out to us here. So we'll conclude there tonight. We're looking at all of those.